Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10 o'clock and the hearing is now open. Apologies to those of you who have heard this opening two, three or four times, but we do have some people who here who've not been present at the earlier hearings, so I will just run through housekeeping matters. I hope that everyone can hear me clearly, but if you're unable to hear what's being said at any time, please let me know. We will be making use of the microphones today, and so hopefully you will be able to hear what's happening. If you have a mobile phone, please ensure it is switched off or onto silent throughout the course of the hearing. My name is Heidi Cruikshank, and I've been appointed by the Secretary of State to examine the proposal for the A30 to Chiverton to Carlin Cross scheme. My colleagues with me today are Ms. Evans, who's at the back of the room, and Mr. Stevens, who may be joining us shortly. If you would like to follow matters online, there is public access here and the internet access code is Malpass Road, capital M, and then capital R with road just being RD. We're not expecting any fire alarms, but the fire exits are to that side where the toilets are, and just behind us here where we came in. So in relation to the timing of this hearing, it may be that we are not running as long as expected because I'm aware that there have been some changes, but I will consider whether we need to take a mid-morning break if we're running on towards lunchtime. If you do need to stretch your legs in the meantime, then please feel free to do so, but just be aware and try not to disturb anybody whilst you're doing that. If we do take an adjournment, then in the interest of openness and fairness to all parties, please do not attempt to engage me in any form of conversation. It's not that I'm being unfriendly, just that it's important that everyone hears what's being said, and I'm not in private conversation with just one party. I should mention that I am again staying in the hotel where we stayed for the last time, and I'm aware that a number of Highways England representatives are also staying there. I trust that everyone is happy that I will be keeping my distance, and there has been no private conversations at the hotel. So in terms of making use of the microphones, it's important that you understand that the hearing is recorded, and that means that you consent to the retention and publication of the recording. We'll only ask for information for the public record which is relevant to the decision. To avoid the need to edit recordings, if there is anything of a personal nature which you feel is relevant that I need to know about, that can be submitted to us in writing. As we are recording, please, when you speak, can you ensure that you give your name at every time that you speak? I'm not going to do that because everyone will know my voice by the end of today, I'm sure. Can I ask if anyone else is intending to film or record the inquiry or make use of social media during the hearing? Sorry. So just to make you aware that Highways England do have people sitting in the room on this side of us, and there's a live stream happening, which you can see there. So that's the view that they get, and that's being live streamed just so that they can have some work going on in the background. So this hearing is in relation to walking, cycling and horse riding issues and general access issues. I would like to clarify that due to time availability, the agenda for this hearing was written before the deadline to submissions. And so I'm aware that there are items which have in effect been overtaken by those submissions. And I'm also aware that from our open floor hearing that there appears to be further movement. And the main, of course, is the DCO revision C, which I'm aware does impact on a couple of points. So as we're going through, if there are submission matters which you're aware of or already before us, just simply refer me to those. That's not a problem. But we will talk through things as we need to. So just so that we know who's here and who wishes to speak today, if there's anyone in the seats at the back who thinks that they want to speak, please do come forward. We've room at the table for you if you'd like to. And I'm just going to ask us to go round the table and just introduce ourselves so we know who's speaking. So if I could start on my right-hand side and we'll sweep round to the left, please.
Good morning. My name's Vanessa Davis from Legal Services Cornwall Council. And to my left, I have Chris Daly from Planning, Rick Clayton from Highways, and to my right, Mike Eastwood from Public Rights of Way.
Nick Jeans, representing Cornwall Countryside Access Forum. But also I've been asked to speak on behalf of the British Horse Society, who are unable to attend.
Robert Fraser, representing the Ramblers Association.
Sarah Wetherill, Truro Cycling Campaign.
John Wetherill, Truro Cycling Campaign.
David Brown on behalf of Fires England, People and Communities Lead. People and Communities Lead for the ES chapter.
John Arthur, Burgess Salmon Solicitors for Highways England.
Julian Boswell, Burgess Salmon Solicitors, Highways England.
Ross Cullen, I'm the Design Lead for ARAP, working on behalf of Highways England.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll just move straight on into the agenda items, and that was to do with the treatment of existing public rights of way. And I'm aware there have been some changes to the rights of way and access plans. Can I just ask for a brief update on the proposed changes in this respect? And I also wanted to understand the issue that's arisen around the removal of the restricted byways and how that's going forward. So thank you.
Julian Boswell for Highways England. Just to explain that from our side, the answers are likely to come mostly from Mr. Cullen and also from my colleague John Arthur, and with some support from David Brown as appropriate. So I'm going to hand over to Mr. Arthur for this one.
Yes, ma'am. So I think hopefully this is something that has been cleared up to a large degree by the submission of revision C of the draft DCO, which just for ease of reference is Rep 2013. So I think, as has been pointed out in the question, following the Section 51 advice, an updated set of rights of way and access plans was submitted that deleted a number of references for restricted byways, and then corresponding change was made to the draft DCO revision B. Now, I think the thing to emphasise here is that in terms of what is going to be provided for non-motorised users, nothing has changed. All that has changed is the way that the footways and cycleways in question are presented in the draft DCO and on the rights of way plans. So just to briefly explain how that's evolved, at the point that the application was submitted, we had a number of footways and cycleways running adjacent to vehicular carriageways, and they were initially presented in the DCO and on the rights of way plans, rights of way and access plans, as separate highways that were given the status of restricted byway. Now, following submission in the Section 51 advice, that was discussed further, and it was considered that actually it would be more appropriate to treat those sort of segregated footways and cycleways as being part and parcel of the main highway, if we can call it that. So rather than having two highways running side by side, you would effectively have one wider highway encompassing both the vehicular carriageway and the adjacent footway and cycleway, and that highway would have the same designation. So that is the that's the reason for the subsequent changes to the draft DCO and the rights of way and access plans. So the rights of way and access plans were updated to delete what had been the reference numbers and letters for the separate restricted byways, and then corresponding changes have been made to the two versions of the draft DCO. And in the most recent revision C of the draft DCO, just to clarify and hopefully resolve this point, we've gone through and cross-checked against the previous list of restricted byways now removed, and updated the descriptions for the corresponding sections of carriageway to include express provision for non-motorised users. And Madam, I'm happy to take you to the relevant part of the updated DCO, the track changes version, advise which of the previous restricted byways each update corresponds to, if that would be useful.
See whether we need to do that. I want to check with the council in terms of your understanding of how the matter would go forward. Are you content with that way of working, your point of view? Yes, thank you. Okay. So in terms of the revised DCO, we've just got, we still have restricted byways, but they're not the ones that would be alongside the road. That's my understanding.
Yes, that's correct, Madam. So there are still a number of restricted byways, but the ones that are the, as we've said, that the footways and cycleways running adjacent to vehicular carriageways are now not described as restricted byways.
Thank you. And then I'm content to not go through the DCO in detail, but I would like to just find out in relation to the agenda point B with regard to a specific byway open to all traffic, whether we're able to just clarify what's happening there.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yes, Madam Inspector, just to confirm, so I've got the plan on the screen here. So this was the previously referenced Z11 link that we're talking about, that as my colleague has just explained, is now being included within the description of the realigned B3277, which is reference A in the schedules. In terms of item B and the specific request for this to be continued to join up with this byway open to all traffic here, as per our response to the local impact report, we don't think that's a viable proposal because of on safety grounds, basically. If I can just quickly explain that the purpose of this link, in effect, is a one-way link for cyclists who are heading eastbound down the existing A30 and looking to go north to St Agnes, rather than go down to the Chiverton Junction and have to come, continue further to the east. They would be prohibited from carrying on the A30, so that they would then be directed down the slip road, down to the new Chiverton Junction, and then come back along the B3277. In discussion with the user groups, we've provided this link to allow them to come off the A30 at this point with just a dropped curb crossing, come across this new link, and then join on to the footway cycleway network here, and then carry on onwards on the B3277 up to St Agnes. On that basis, the concern is if we provided this link and allowed cyclists to come back down this way to join this byway open to all traffic, there would be a concern that cyclists would actually go onto the carriageway, and they'd be going onto opposing traffic, which we think would introduce a significant safety concern. So we would suggest, there is currently a link to these byways via the existing network here, and we would suggest that is maintained as that route.
Thank you. Can I ask the council if they have any comments on that matter, and then Truro Cycling?
We're instructed to say that we accept what they're saying on terms of safety, but it appears to be a missed opportunity to be able to create that extra link. And if there was a way to do it, then it may improve the network quite a bit for actual users.
Thank you. Any other comments from Truro Cycling in particular I'm thinking of?
We might concur with Cornwall Council on that point.
So in terms of this, we're at... obviously at Chiverton here, and we're to the, and I'm never good at my east and west, we're to the west of the new proposed roundabout junction, or roundabouts junction. And I remember we were out on site there on Tuesday, and walking across and seeing the links that come down into Truro from the north. So the links that exist now, as you've shown, it goes up. I'm not sure. Would that be St Agnes Road that's going out? That one there, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's St Agnes. Oh, that's the boundary. Sorry. Right, I'm with you. And that then takes you down, and then there's the bridge that comes across back across over, isn't there? In terms of the space that's available, alongside the carriageway. So if we look in between, so we've got the filling stations there, haven't we, and the Starbucks right next to the carriageway. And that,
yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And can you just confirm for me just the feature that we're seeing just on the left-hand side there? Is that an attenuation pond that we're seeing there? Or?
Yeah, that's correct, Madam Inspector, yeah.
Okay. Now, this was the point where, just remind me, there is some digging out being done, is that correct? Because we're looking to tie the levels back into the existing highway.
Sorry, I should have said Ross Cullen of Highways England. Yes, you're right, Madam Inspector. Yeah, this is the, if I can zoom out slightly. As you say, this is the existing roundabout. You can see just about underneath. And yeah, this is the point where we actually tie back into the existing dual carriageway to the west of the existing roundabout. But from this point on then is when we start to drop below the existing road level. You can see these earthworks here on both sides, so we are starting to dig down, as you say.
So in terms of the available space that's there, I'm trying to understand how much space is being taken up by earthworks and whether there is space adjacent or above that those earthworks. Are you able to advise in terms of that, in terms of your red line boundaries in particular?
I think it's fair to say, Madam, Ross Cullen of Highways England, it's fair to say that you could provide the requested link along the verge here. It's a 4 metre wide verge. And link up as being suggested. Like I say, our position would be that we would advise against that purely on safety grounds. But no, I think there is potentially the verge width there to do that.
Does the council have anything further that they wish to comment on in relation to that point?
Vanessa Davis, Cornwall Council. Sorry, ma'am, for the delay. Again, we accept that the issues of safety, and that may be difficult, but it would actually connect not only to the boat but to the U6072 as well. So, you know, there is that extra benefit possibly from having that link. But if it's not possible on safety grounds, then obviously Cornwall Council has to accept that.
Thank you. I'll have a think about how we take that forward out of this hearing. So moving on then, there was a question regarding PR5 asking whether that could be upgraded to bridleway status rather than footpath.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Madam, would it help to explain quickly where PR5 is? Is that?
Yeah,
yeah, of course. Sorry, so it's actually shown on the plan up here because this shows the new designation, but it's literally linking between this bridleway up the earthworks to join to the realigned V3284. So it's in this section here, yeah.
Current situation in relation to that link to DCO.
So currently it's proposed as a stepped footpath. Based on all the engagement we've had with the various user groups and the associated landowners. So the proposals in this area are to provide a new bridleway, which is PR4, that links between the existing bridleway here, 314651, and the existing bridleway BR314641, with an access out onto the realigned B3284 as part of our new junction at this location here. In those discussions, the point was made for walkers, particularly who are walking down here, who currently can walk out well, they can walk out onto the A30, so at the moment they can't really go anywhere because there's no facilities on the A30. But there was a request for, rather than make them have to walk all the way to this point to come all the way back for them then to manoeuvre through the junction, whether an access could be provided to join up with the footway cycleway, the facilities that are provided within the verges, as my colleague touched on earlier. So that's the reason that's been put in as a stepped footpath provision. In terms of horse riding, it was considered that that would be an insignificant further distance to travel, and it wasn't really necessarily made in our engagement wasn't specifically requested as a particular benefit. So at the moment, the steps are for footway, are for pedestrians only.
Does Council want to raise any points in relation to that matter?
Also links to that new bit of cycleway that's shown in blue.
I think the Council's Vanessa Davis, Cornwall Council, is actually thinking about the cyclists as well, not just the horse riders, in as much as that the cyclists could lift their bikes down the steps and then they've got that direct connection into that new cycleway that's being put in place. So it's not just horse riders, there's also the cyclists that to be taken into consideration, so that would give them a good connection there.
In terms of the talking about stepped access, that's obviously because we're in cutting there and it would be presumably quite a significant issue to deal with making access more available. Is that the point that's being...
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yeah, that's correct, Madam Inspector. Yeah, it's actually on embankment, so our new road is higher than the existing, but you've got there's a 1-in-2 slope of earthworks. So yes, a ramp, we couldn't do that in a gradient. It would have to be with a stepped access.
And in terms of the cycling access, they would be able to go along the bridleway and come out at the what is also the joint private access onto the existing A30. Is that there? Yeah. And then go back. Okay.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yeah, that's correct, Madam Inspector. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone else have any points that they'd like to raise in relation to this suggestion?
Madam, can I point out that apparently we can have 5 mics live at the same time, so you might want to just leave yours on.
Thank you, Mr. Boswell. Very helpful.
Vanessa Davis, Cornwall Council. Again, we accept that the cyclist will be able to use the bridleway and go essentially the long way around, but and also, you know, that there are steps on the new bit, but perhaps with a cycle channel to one side. Again, it would just give an extra choice for the cyclist in terms of which way they go. And it is an extra possible 200 metres, you know, depending on whether they're actually cycling for pleasure or because they need to get somewhere commuting.
In terms of what Highways England have to provide, so I'm aware you would have standards that you would have to provide for particular status of routes. Is something like a stepped access with as they're talking about, a cycle lane effectively alongside, so you can walk a bike down in hand, is that something that is within your abilities to do, or is that something outside of the standards you're able to provide?
Ross Cullen for Highways England. No, Madam Inspector, you're quite right. That is something we could consider, yeah. I mean, as we say, at the moment we haven't provided that, but that's something that could be considered, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So I think, Mr. Jeans.
Nick Jeans. Could I just point out that the present status of that route is bridleway all the way to the A30. So if you're going to downgrade it to a footpath, it will have to be changed.
Okay.
So I just wondered if it might be possible to put a ramped access within the cutting, within the embankment width. It would obviously have to go first of all one way and then round and back again, a zigzag thing. But I wouldn't have thought it was a major construction problem.
Ross Cullen for Housing. Madam Minister, would it be helpful just to respond to that? And I think, yeah, Mr. Jeans makes a good point. You know, you're probably right. I mean, in terms of a ramped access, it would be achievable. I mean, anything's achievable, isn't it? You know, probably a staggered ramp of some form. Just to confirm, you're quite right. The bridleway does currently run out onto the existing A30. But again, like I say, in all our engagement we had with the various user groups, they can't currently, they wouldn't take a horse out onto the A30 as it stands. So at the moment, it's a dead end for the bridleway, whereas the advantage, which I think we had some good feedback on our new proposals, is that it links this bridleway round to the other bridleway that currently is accessed off the B3284. So it helps to increase this network for the bridleway. And as you can see there with reference C, so this section of existing bridleway is to be stopped up as part of our proposals, yeah.
Okay, so this seems a matter that perhaps needs a little more thought following on as a post-hearing matter, and I'll put it into the points to come forward. Is there anything else on that matter? Sorry, Mr. Fraser.
Just something that occurs to me might be a compromise solution. It looks as though halfway along the new bridleway that's parallel, that's right, halfway along there, the earthworks are more or less, the proposed road is more or less the same level as the bridleway. And I wondered if it would be feasible just to construct a very short link across there, which would then halve the distance if you were coming out of the bridleway and heading to the east.
Thank you. Any comments from anyone else on that point?
Ross Cullen, Highways England. Just to say, Madam Inspector, you're quite right. Yes, the levels are much closer to being the same level at that point. So a link across there would be far more feasible, if you like, with far reduced construction requirements. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Weatherall.
John Weatherall, Truro Cycling Campaign. Just to concur, perhaps with Nick, with that idea of a ramped up might be useful for mountain bikers or something to get down to the. To access towards the A30 there.
Okay. Is there anything else on this point? Otherwise, I think it's something that it sounds like we need to take outside from the hearing and have hitting later deadline. And the item D, I'm aware there was a response in relation to this already. Is there anything further that you'd just like to clarify in relation to that matter? And this was the question of Short Lanes End Road from St. Frieda's to Twoborough Hill, and it's to do with the National Cycle Path.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Madam Inspector, it will help just for me to explain the context. So, if you can see here, this is the existing Short Lanes End Road, C0089. That currently passes underneath the existing two barrows underbridge here, and then runs up and joins this C road C0364 that goes down into Zila. The National Cycle Route 32 currently is an on carriageway route that follows that road network. Our layout, if I can briefly explain it, the layout we've come up with here in terms of the public road network, which we agree with Cornwall Council, actually stops up this section of the existing road to avoid a crossroads junction, which for safety reasons is not the preferred solution. Previously, there was the option of creating a staggered junction with realigning this carriageway and tying in somewhere here, so creating a right-left stagger. Again, the preference is always for a left-right stagger rather than a right-left. And the location of the junction at this location, the vertical alignment on this realigned section of existing A30 is quite substandard. So putting a junction at that location would have had reduced visibility both to and from that junction, which was, I think we agreed with Cornwall Council, was introduced unacceptable safety risks. So then we changed this to be a what we would call a left-right stagger, so you turn left out of this junction and then right into this junction, with a new link then that ties into this bit of existing carriageway here. This is the old A30 that runs down through Zeela. And with the proposal then for the national cycle route to follow that new road layout. This bit of existing carriageway here would be retained. It'll be a public road because it accesses not just the Sinfrida nursery but also a field gate into this field here. But this section of carriageway then would be stopped up and removed and replaced with woodland planting. So I think the request is now saying whether that could be redesignated as a bridleway. I think our position would still be the same, that you know, even at that location, the visibility to and from that crossing would be substandard, and so would introduce safety concerns. And importantly, it would introduce departures from the standards, which would have to be signed off by Cornwall Council. Obviously, they could confirm their position on that, but I think our position would be that we didn't feel that was the safest solution. And as this is an on-carriageway network currently, we've developed our proposals on the basis that it would stay on carriageway and follow the new road layout.
Thank you. Does Cornwall Council have any comments in relation to that? I'm aware that it wasn't yourselves who raised the issue, and we don't seem to have anyone from the parish council present, but just if you have any comments.
Rick Clayton for the Cornwall Highways. I think this is one of those issues where we've got some further work to do in detailed design, potentially where that could be reinstated, but I accept the point by Mr. Cullen about the design standards and the visibility. But it is something that would be a benefit if it could be incorporated at that stage. But like I say, we haven't got a firm position. Certainly agree on the thing about a vehicular crossing. We're happy with that as a vehicular route, but would like to explore that opportunity there if it's feasible.
Thank you. Mr. Jeans?
Nick Jeans, Access Forum. The initiative for this, I think, came originally from St. Alan Parish Council, but it's one that we as the Access Forum supported. I think it probably Cornwall Council's offer to look at this in more detail. Obviously, if there are serious safety considerations about a crossing there, I can quite understand that. But if they can look at it, because you've also got, from point of view of any horse riders or cyclists coming up from the south, you've still got the question of a right turn off the existing A30 route up there. Yeah, so it's in a way, it swings and roundabouts. Obviously, the crossing needs to be safely constructed there.
Any further points that anyone wishes to raise on that one? Mr. Fraser.
Madam, just...
Would the same safety concerns apply if it was made just a footpath rather than a bridleway?
Ross Cullen of Highways England. Yeah, Madam, so if you would like me to clarify, in our opinion, yes, it would. I think as Mr. Clayton said, this could be looked at. It's just noting that there would be departures from standard, so you probably wouldn't get full standard visibility. But as we know, that can be accepted, but it would have to go through that process.
Madam, can I just, Julian Boswell for Highways England, just make the observation that, unlike some other issues, it's not entirely straightforward to leave this to detailed design, because that would be post-consent, and the DCO necessarily has to take a position on the legal status of the different routes. And whilst in theory you could provide, you know, there have occasionally been DCOs with alternatives within them, we really don't think this is one of those scenarios, that this is one where a position does need to be taken now, And I think on balance, we do have a fairly strong view that the way we have gone is the right way, taking into account the different considerations, which isn't to say we won't continue to discuss it, but I think it might be fairer to manage expectations on that point.
So in those terms, Mr. Boswell, you're saying that Highways England would not wish to make further investigations on that point in terms of this DCO unless we push it at this stage?
Julian Boswell, I think hopefully it's coming across that we have been open to any number of discussions on a huge range of points, and it is quite a big scheme in many ways. It's also the case, inevitably, that people have different views, some of which aren't entirely sort of aligned, which is, you know, a very, very common situation. And in the end, as the applicant, we have to make a judgment call, and we have sort of certain things that impinge on us in terms of how we do things. For example, the on-carriageway point seems to us to be quite a powerful point at the heart of this particular judgment call. And so we don't want to say that we won't continue a discussion, but I think sometimes one indicates that and everybody assumes that, oh, well, that really means they've conceded it. And I think on this occasion we're saying we're happy to discuss, we're not completely ruling it out, but we're not saying that there's some kind of easy open door and just push a little bit harder and it will completely open out, because there are a range of considerations that we think we have balanced and come out with this as being, you know, the better of the alternatives.
Okay. Does anyone else have any further comments on that particular point? Mr. Fraser?
Yeah, you have to balance the safety. If you're thinking about horses, you have to balance the safety of people coming out on the original road there compared with the danger to the horse rider of actually riding along the public road. It's a fairly straight road, so traffic speeds will be probably 50 miles an hour there, something like that, which could be a danger to horse riders.
Do we have, and I think I've asked the question slightly later on, do we have any data of existing use in terms of walkers, cyclists and horse riders in this particular area that was undertaken, were any surveys undertaken as part of the scheme process?
No? Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yes, Manon said we have had surveys across the network. It just might be worth pointing out that in this particular area, there is a bridleway here that runs down this lane and currently runs along an existing lane here and up over the Tall Grogan Bridge, which I believe you visited.
Yes.
I can briefly talk you through. So the proposals here for us in that respect are to maintain like for like. So we are stopping up that existing bridleway because, as you can see, it's under the footprint of our new scheme, but we are providing a new laneway here that will be designated as a bridleway, and then the replacement bridge to replace the existing bridge, because it's not currently wide enough for our new cross section, would also be designated as a bridleway. So horses would route that way rather than through this junction. So it's more the cyclists and the pedestrians. But yeah, we have got survey data we could provide. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Are there any other matters that anyone wishes to raise in relation to the treatment of existing public rights of way under the DCO? Mr. Fraser.
Yeah, I don't think in your agenda you mentioned the treatment of Bridleway 3, Kenwyn Parish.
Bridleway 3 in
Kenwyn Parish.
Kenwyn Parish.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we able to...
Further to the west from there, it's...
Sheet 3.
So the next sheet over. Thank you. So, Mr. Fraser, what did you want to say in relation to that one?
The proposed treatment of the bridleway is to stop up the northern end, which means that it's, well, there's two things. The bridleway serves no useful purpose anymore. It would link quite nicely with bridleways on the south, further south and to the north. It would be relatively easy to provide a link parallel to the new road along the south side to link up with the next public road to the east.
Can anyone confirm to me what the buildings that we're seeing there, is that a house or
no,
is that barns?
It's a shooting facility. There's a little shed for people who, I think it's clay pigeon shooting.
So your suggestion is that the northern end of Bridleway 3 should be linked, was it east?
That's right,
yes,
yep.
East. Okay. Any comments, please?
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Madam, so just I suppose I'll just to point out, I think what Mr. Fraser is referring to is, and it's shown over two plans, but yeah, as you say, it's to route to the east here, and then if we can jump onto the next plan, if that's okay. And continue from here and join up with this network here. If I wanted to briefly explain, this is the existing Tresorsum Road that currently comes down to the T-junction here. I think this is where we stopped on the site visit. And with our proposals, this road is realigned down through an underpass under the New York carriageway with a new simple T-junction onto the existing road at this location. So I believe that's what Mr. Fraser is referring to.
Yes, exactly.
If I could pass you on to my colleague, David Ubin.
David Brown on behalf of Highways England. Madam Inspector, in relation to Bridleway itself, the replacement is like for like at the moment, so the current Bridleway stops at the existing A30. There's no formal access onto the existing A30 at that point, and therefore the revised scheme looks to provide a similar arrangement where it stops at the point where it hits the A30, the new A30 as it would be. That was discussed in quite some detail with Cornwall Council as part of the assessment process and the rights of management process, and was agreed that that was a suitable provision at that point. Access to that, the point that Mr. Cullen mentioned further along the route, would be available, obviously along the local road network to the south, should someone wish to cross the A30 further along.
Thank you. Gentlemen, between you.
You go first, Bob.
I strongly disagree with the statement that the bridleway doesn't presently connect to the A30. Physically, it's not possible to use it because it's been overgrown. The Ramblers, for several years, have made efforts to try and persuade Cornwall Council's Highway Authority to clear the obstructions from the path. I have a copy of a response from 2004 on this particular matter, and more recently, in about 2016, one of our members was trying to persuade Cornwall Council to clear the undergrowth and the obstructions on the path, which they again declined to do. In 2004, that was just before the consultation for the previous version of the scheme, and at that time there was an overbridge proposed to take the bridleway across the main road. But perhaps Cornwall Council's Highway Authority might confirm that the bridleway does presently join onto the existing A30.
I think, to be fair, Mr. Fraser, my understanding of what was said was that it goes to the A30 and goes no further, as in people would perhaps not tend to use it with horses, although they may with walking and cycling if their access was available.
I would accept that for horses it's very difficult at the moment. For walkers, it's not ideal, but I have used it several times myself and fought my way through the brambles trying to use it.
Thank you. Mr. Jean.
Nick Jeans, Access Forum. I'd like to support what Bob has said. The bridleway at the moment, the fact that it's not used is probably a reflection on the traffic flows on the A30 and not the latent demand. Both the Access Forum and the British Horse Society, in our original discussions, consultation with Highways England, this was raised, and I understood that the link that Bob has proposed was actually, they'd taken it on board. We feel very strongly that link needs to be provided there along the south side of the new road. We've got very few bridleways in the area compared with many other areas, and we cannot afford to lose them. I think strongly support provision of a link there.
Thank you. Does Cornwall Council have any comments in relation to this?
I think our only comment is anything that helps to improve the network is not going to be by Cornwall Council. But to accept the fact that it was discussed with Cornwall Council back before, I don't know the dates, but it has been discussed with the council.
Okay. Anything further?
Yeah, David Brown for Highways England. If I can just clarify, Madam Inspector, that I believe, as Mr. Jean says, that the opportunity was discussed as part of the walking, cycling, horse riding review and assessment process under the DMRB process. It would have been flagged as an opportunity, and that's all it was, in my understanding, at that point. So we did then go away and look at that opportunity and whether that could be incorporated as part of the scheme. Unfortunately, I think there's land and access issues in that area as well, which have prevented us including it as part of the current draft DCO. And there are opportunities either side of that network to cross the A30, should you wish.
Thank you. All right, thank
Madam,
you.
Madam, can I just assist Julian Boswell? Just obviously with a scheme like this, decisions have to be made at certain points as to how the red line boundary of the scheme is drawn. And I've just checked with Mr. Cullen, and for us, even if we were prepared to accommodate this, which for the reasons we've explained, we decided that we wouldn't, at this point in the examination, it would be, in any event, we do not have the land that would be needed within the red line to provide it. And as I'm sure you're aware, but other people may not be, the process of adding in land to a DCO during the examination, particularly when it includes compulsory acquisition, is not an easy thing to do, and would require, you know, design and other factors, such that with the best will in the world, where there are other things that have been raised that we could, you know, we might be able to consider and could be tweaked within the context of where we are in the process, this is emphatically not one of them.
Thank you. Mr. Fraser.
Just speaking to Mr. Jean, just looking at a plan with Mr. Jean's, the scheme plan appears to show a fairly wide strip of that land immediately adjacent to the earthworks. And I wondered if that was sufficiently wide to fit a bridleway.
Can you just confirm what plan you're looking at so that we can get that up on screen and we can all see the same thing?
The plan I've got is the plan that Highways England handed out on Tuesday for our perambulation. Okay. It is the general arrangement and section APFP regulation, sheet 3 of 6, and it's got the red line boundary on it right the way through the scheme. So one presumes it was dated, when is it dated? It was actually dated last August, but one presumes that they were handing out the latest plan.
Okay, we'll get that up. And so is that the plan you're talking about? Is that what you've got in front of you?
Yes, that is okay. That is the very similar anyway, yes.
So we've got the Tribeca Junction in the centre there, and we're looking to the east of that, slightly northeast.
Ross Cullen, I was inside, so I wonder whether that would assist in checking you've got the same plan. Is that the plan you're referring to, Mr?
That's the same one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. So So in terms of the question being asked by Mr. Jeans, in terms of the available land, are you able to assist us as to what this is showing?
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yeah, Madam, so just to confirm, that additional width that Mr. Jeans is referring to is for the gas main diversion. So the actual permanent title that we're taking for the route itself is far less than that. The land plan would be a better indication of that, but this wider area that we're referring to here, so I can totally understand the confusion, but yeah, that width is temporary land take for to construct and maintain a gas main, high pressure gas main, rather than taken as permanent title for the scheme.
I wonder if we could get the relevant land plan up quite quickly. Is that easy to do?
Yes, of course. Bear with me a second. Ross Cullen for Highways England. Madam, so just a... Oh, sorry. Just put it on the screen.
Thank you.
So this is the... This is the section in question, you can see. So obviously the pink being the... being the actual title that we're taking, the full acquisition, and then the blue area, which is I think the area that Mr. Jeans was referring to, is this temporary land take for to construct and maintain the high pressure gas main diversion.
So just for the record, that's the land title 4/9E.
That's correct,
Madam
Secretary.
We're talking about, and then further over 4/8J and 4/10.
Ross Cullen for Highways England, that's correct, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Okay, so I've heard what everyone has to say, and it's something I'll take forward in terms of just asking you to finalise your positions in relation to that point, following on from the hearing. Just to check, are there any other matters in relation to treatment of existing public rights of way?
Right. Ross Cullen for Highways England, Madam, just to make a final point, just for your information, just to highlight this is also an existing bridleway here, which then goes further south. Mm-hmm. So as we say at the moment, the alternative route to this, which our understanding is what horses currently use, because as we've said, they can't currently get through this section, is that they route just a bit further east off this plan, and then they route up through that junction we just spoke about at Tresorcin. So just to say, it's almost like that's going back. This is actually going in the same direction, if you like.
Okay, thank you. All right, so in relation to signage, point A has been answered, and I'm clear on that from deadline to submissions. And I just wanted to, the only thing I wanted to understand was where the signage would be dealt with, or when the signage would be dealt with. It was referred to being dealt with via the SEMP. Can I just clarify whether that's something which will be done at once, or would it be done as sections go ahead? Because obviously you're going to be working in sections along the route, and that will affect existing and proposed rights of way at various times as you go. So I just wanted to clarify how the signage would work in practice.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yes, call Madam Inspector. I think it's fair to say the signage would be developed in the detailed design stage, and then would be we wouldn't be able to open any section of the new works without that signage in place. As we know, with a scheme of this length, as you say, it will be delivered in sections, and sections may be open to traffic under traffic management, but in that case, again, there would be temporary signage put up with that traffic management. So I think the answer is yes, that signage would be in place, whether it be temporary signage if it's under traffic management, or the permanent signage before that is open to traffic.
Thank you. Any other comments anyone wishes? Mr. Jeans?
Just one small point. Could Highways England please confirm at Chiverton Cross the point at which eastbound cyclists coming from Penzance would leave the road, and where they would, and their route through the junctions there, because that dictates where the signage is.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. As a suggestion, Madam Inspector, I don't know whether you, because I know further down the agenda we have got the Chiverton Junction, haven't we? I don't know whether you want to cover that then, or
perhaps we can deal with that at that point. Thank you, Mr. Jeans.
That's okay.
Just remind us. So just in relation to the issue of bilingual signs, I've seen the response made at deadline two now, which is really, as I understand it, Highways England position is that they would not provide bilingual signs. Is that correct? I understood that.
Ross Cone for Highways England, that's correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you. From Cornwall's point of view, I wanted to understand the status of the Cornish language. I'm just thinking in terms of, obviously, with Wales, I understand what happens there and the status of the language in Wales. And I wanted to understand the status of the Cornish language here to understand the importance of, or otherwise, of the signage.
Rick Clayton for Cornwall Highways. In terms of our request for the bilingual signage, we are just looking to replicate our current local highway policy, which is to major junctions to include the Cornish language version of junction names in the title frame. We're not looking for the full Welsh treatment on all the direction arms and everything else. So it's in the top junction name that we would seek to have the Cornish version of that, and that's something that we have implemented on a rolling programme as we change junctions or signage on our own network. And that is where the request comes from. And it is a Cornwall policy to promote the Cornish language. I'm not sure of its exact status in terms of how that sits nationally, but that's a general council policy, is to promote that and Cornish distinctiveness.
Okay, thank you. Does Highways England have any further comments in relation to the use of bilingual signs, which would be, it sounds as if we're not talking about every sign, we're talking, and it's not specifically about rights of way here, we're talking in the generality. Is there any further comment?
Yeah, Josh Hodder, Highways England. In working with Cornwall Council, we were keen to explore this opportunity to include Cornish language signs on, in particular, the junction signs with junction names. So as part of that, we did discuss the issue with the Department for Transport, and they confirmed to us that all signs must either be prescribed by the traffic signs regulations, general directions, or specifically authorised by the Department for Transport. That relates to not only the strategic road network, but also any local authority roads as well. So the signs that are neither prescribed or authorised are considered obstructions on the highway and would need to be removed. DFT has confirmed that they have never authorised Cornish legends on the network, and they wouldn't authorise such signs moving forwards. On this basis, we cannot provide the junction names in Cornish language on the signs for the A30. And if it is something that needs to be, if it is something that Cornwall Council would like to incorporate, it's a matter of policy that would have to be taken up by Cornwall Council with the Department for Transport.
Okay. Do you have any comments on that?
No further comment on that at this stage.
All right, thank you. Are there any other matters in relation to signage that anyone wishes to raise? No. So I'm just going to take us over towards Carland Cross now, and this was in relation to the crossing of the A39. Now, this was one of the points we were at on Tuesday morning, and looking at that crossing. And so I understand, I think, how that junction is intended to work at the present time, but there has been a request for provision of a Pegasus crossing there. And so I wanted to just to have some discussion around that and make sure we've understood what's happening and what might be possible. So, thank you.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. If it's useful, Madam Inspector, I'll just take you through take everyone through the general layout in this area. This is the public rights of way and access plan. This is our new Carling Cross junction, which retains the existing roundabout. The existing dual carriageway down here, the would then continue across the top of the our new junction, with a new connector road from the existing roundabout to a new roundabout passing underneath the new dual carriageway. In terms of public rights of way, we've got an existing bridleway that runs parallel to the existing A39 here to the south that goes down into Truro. We've got what we're now providing as a new bridleway that will run parallel to the dual carriageway and connect down into Mitchell. At the moment, at the existing roundabout, obviously with this is the transition between the existing dual carriageway and the existing single carriageway. There is an existing section of, so cyclists who come down the existing dual carriageway are signed into this access road that just goes into the service area here, into these couple of properties, and they are directed onto this footway cycleway network to then cross across via a refuge island across the A39 and use another section of footway cycleway within the verge before popping out onto the single carriageway network to continue west. For the eastbound cyclists coming down the single carriageway, they are directed off onto this short section of footway cycleway here. They then cross to the central island, cross again, and then use the network I've just talked about, which gets you back across the A39, out onto this network, and then through the roundabout in whichever direction you're going to head. Our proposals in this area, if I can zoom backwards. So, thanks. Again, as a result of extensive engagement we had with a number of the user groups as part of our walking, cycling and horse riding assessment reporting, with our new junction, finishing off with the new roundabout to the north of the dual carriageway, the existing A30, which would then be, as opposed to running as it does currently down into the existing roundabout, would be realigned to join our new roundabout to the north, with this section of the existing A30 to be removed. With our new walking, cycling and horse riding provisions, a new 3 metre wide bridleway would be provided along the line of the existing verge of the existing A30, and then would route down through a walking, cycling and horse riding underpass and join on to the realigned existing A30. At this end, the new bridleway was proposed to tie into the existing footway cycleway provision. In looking at this crossing in more detail, as in response to this question, I think we discussed this in the site visit. There is now a proposal to have to change the designation of this footway cycleway. So this current network, as is at the moment, will now need to be redesignated as a bridleway, which is just a formality. But we have discussed this with Cornwall Council and have agreed that proposal. And this is something that we will be now changing in and submitting as part of deadline three. But going back to the actual crossing itself, so that was just a redesignation, if you like, as a bridleway. But the principle of the crossing is that it would be retained as an informal crossing. If you look at, in accordance with all the design standards that we have to work to, there is numerical assessments you can do to determine whether a formalised crossing is required, which we've done, and that would suggest that the survey data we've got in this area, based on current usage, even with an allowance of suppressed demand, if you like, with the lack of existing facilities, would suggest that we couldn't justify a formalised crossing. The other assessment we have to look at is
with in what we call a site assessment. So you look at the visibility to and from the existing crossing. You look at the accident record at that site, of which currently there's no accident record. The visibility, our position is that there's very good visibility in both directions. That's appropriate for the speed. If I can zoom out a touch, if that's okay. So you know, in this direction, obviously vehicles are slowing down on the approach to the crossing, and from the other direction, vehicles are manoeuvring around the roundabout. So you know, with speed, based on the geometry of having to make that manoeuvre, speeds are kept relatively low. Like I say, there's good visibility to the crossing. With the refuge island that's currently there, the crossing widths are considered reasonable. So that the proposal would be to, as part of putting this in as a bridleway, we would be providing new holding areas on both sides of the carriageway in accordance with the standards, with appropriate fencing. And then the horses, the walkers and the cyclists would wait. Would and they'd be visible to vehicles in both directions. They would cross to the centre island, and then they would cross again, continue round, and then, as they do currently, join onto the existing network here and link into the existing bridleway here and our new bridleway further towards Mitchell, further east. There has been a change of vehicular traffic on this road, and it's okay, Madam. But I'd like to, if you want to know more about that, I could bring in my colleague who could say a bit more about that.
Thank you.
Madam Inspector, Tom Metcalf on behalf of Highways England, traffic modelling lead. So as Mr Cullen referred to then, looking at the forecast year transport model that we've used for the A30 assessment, we see that on the A39 south of the Carling Cross Junction, the two-way forecast traffic flow without the scheme in place, the annual average daily traffic flow is forecast to be approximately 14,050 trips daily. With the scheme in place, this is forecast to reduce to approximately 12,090 trips daily, representing a 15% reduction in trips over the course of an average day. So we do see a reduction in forecast traffic flows on the A39 with the scheme in place.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm just going to ask if there's anyone who wants to make any comments in relation to that. I can see Mr. Jean's finger going forward.
Thank you, Nick Jeans, for Access Forum. First of all, can I say that the Access Forum, we were involved considerably in the early consultations, and for the two lengths of a new bridleway there, I've lost the references from them, but the one on the left and the one down to Mitchell. Yeah, thank you very much. It's just what we wanted. But we do have serious reservations about two things. First of all, between the end coming off the one to the right through the existing road network, that's it, to about there, you are in a what was once, it's a carriageway that is full of traffic movements. You've got people coming off the dual carriageway going into the garage there, the filling station. You've also got the garage premises beyond there. And that bit of road has a sort of concentration of turning movements in it, and there is no off carriageway route through there. To the southeast, the area there, the public highway going down through there, and the roads down south of Mitchell too, there's a lot of quiet lanes there and quite a lot of bridleways, and there's a lot of horse movements down there. There's also a lot of leisure cycling movements, and we are concerned that you've got a concentration of traffic here where you need some extra provision so we can keep the non-motorised users out of the traffic flow. So I know they're proposing to put in refuges both sides of the A39, and I know they're proposing to widen the existing footways there. But I think there needs to be some sort of provision for non-motorised users between the roundabout and the Mitchell, that's it, somewhere along there and onto the Mitchell Bridleway. That's our first point we want to make. The second is that the reduction in traffic flows on the roundabout there from 14,000 to 12,000, it's maybe 15%, but it's still a very busy junction, particularly the twice a day, the early morning and evening rush hours. And purely personal thought, but I doubt that the traffic speeds are going to be very much less than they are at the moment. And that is, as we saw on Tuesday, they buzz through there pretty fast. I would not want to ride a horse or even lead a horse across that junction there, even with the refuge in the middle, without some sort of control. It's crossing four lanes of traffic, and I think it's potentially very hazardous. You say there's no accident record there. It's probably because there are very few people who actually use it at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Jeans. Does the council have any comments in relation to this junction in particular?
Rick Clayton for Cornwall Highways. Clearly, there is a, with the changes, and the intention would be for improvement there for connectivity for non-motorised users. I would concur with Mr. Cullen's design comments that there needs to be a justification for signalised crossings of a Pegasus nature. We don't put them everywhere. There is a bridleway crossing of a road. It wouldn't be appropriate to. And I think this would be something that we would expect to come out through the road safety audit and detailed design process if there is a further improvement or enhancement that could be made in that area. But I think as a broad principle, we're satisfied with what Highways England are proposing there.
Thank you. Are there any further comments on this point? Thank you.
Could I just ask one question, Nick Jeans for Access Forum, one question. Which do Highways England consider the point at which westbound long-distance cyclists will leave the existing A30 to come off here at the roundabout or to come off down at Mitchell and come up the bridleway through Mitchell?
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Mr. Jeans makes a good point, and you made this good point on the site visit. So currently our proposal, as we said, would be that the westbound cyclists on the existing A30 would be signed off at the slip road here. So they'd be notified that they're prohibited from carrying on the dual carriageway. They would be directed off down the slip road and join this network and then almost use the network as we've just described. I think you made the point that there is the option potentially to divert them off at the previous junction. And I think I'm sure Highways England would be open to those discussions with the council as part of that wider signage strategy. But that's our current proposal with this scheme.
So just to confirm the what we can see, number 24, that feature, that does go all the way up into Mitchell, and so people would have the option of coming off at Mitchell and then running alongside the dual carriageway without being on the dual carriageway themselves at that time.
Ross Cullen, if I was in there, that's correct, Madam Inspector.
Okay. I mean, it certainly sounds like it would be sensible to have additional signage to try and encourage that to happen at as early a stage as possible and to avoid the possibility of someone running out of road space and not realising by the time they get to Carlin that they are supposed to come off. So, yeah, I think that's something I would appreciate that was looked into.
Thank you.
Mr. Fraser.
Mr. Cullen, I think you suggested that the proposed or the forecast number of non-motorised people crossing the A39 was based on existing flows plus a percentage, which to me doesn't seem a sensible way of forecasting it. I mean, it's maybe a question you can't answer off the cuff, but what are the actual forecast number of people that are actually crossing the A39 at that point? The different categories, you know, walkers, riders or cyclists?
Ross Cullen, Highways England. Just to clarify, so yeah, we have had surveys done here actually on the crossing itself and on the adjacent network. So I think on the crossing itself, there was seven a combination of cyclists and walkers. I haven't got the exact split. Seven in a day using that crossing at the moment. And on the adjacent network here, on this BR, on this bridleway here, there were a combination of, there was two equestrians, two horse riders, and then a combination of walkers and cyclists, 17 of those in total using that network. So what we were saying is, in terms of the numerical assessment you can do, and Cornwall Council have got their own guidance on this as well, that you... It does make an allowance for the fact that there could be latent demand. You're looking at those numbers to have to increase significantly, probably almost tenfold to get up to a way you'd need to justify a formalised crossing. So what I was trying to say is you the calculation you can do, and the calculation is just one of a number of assessments we have to do. I touched on some of the other ones with visibility and safety and safety issues, but based on the current demand that we've surveyed, with an allowance for suppressed and latent demand, it would still be well short of ever justifying a formalised crossing.
Thank you, Ms. Jeans.
Could I just mention one thing that may well not have been taken into account in those traffic forecasts? Is the under the designated funds scheme, there is a new trail going from up through Scottish Power's work to the north, going up towards Shepherd's and linking into the new trail network, which is bound to bring in a lot more leisure cyclists and probably more horse riders as well. There's no way of forecasting what that traffic is going to be, but it's bringing new routes into it and new connections.
Okay, so that's being done, being led by who, Mr. Jeans? Being led by the council,
Being led by Mr. Clayton here.
Thank you. Okay. So if I could just have a brief description of what's proposed here and timescales, that would be helpful.
Okay. Rick Clayton for Cornwall Highways. So we are progressing separately from this, the designated funds programme, which is majority funding from Highways England, which is for a series of cycle routes across central Cornwall. That's something the council is leading on under my direction. And it does, as Mr. Jeans pointed out, include routes from the St. Newlyn East connecting in to Carlton Junction. So potentially there would be greater traffic coming into there. It's probably also worth pointing out, through the designated funds programme, there is a green bridge being considered just to the south of the Carlton Cross Junction, in that general area where the hand is there. So again, if this programme, which is being progressed separately, separate processes going through, then there would be further measures that would come forward with in that to improve that connectivity for those users.
And do you have an idea on timescales on that?
Currently, we're working to a time frame of those routes being in place by spring 2021.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Weatherall.
John Weatherall, Truro Cycling Campaign. We'd just like to concur with Nick, you know, that you have to take into account that designated funds, what that extra flows that might bring.
Thank you. Highways England, wish to make any comment on that? Are you content?
Ross Cullen, Highways England. I suppose only to say, Madam Inspector, that we would, you know, we've given a lot of thought to all our proposals as part of our scheme, and have very much valued all the engagement with the stakeholders. And we would hope that the network we've just presented, you know, very much tries to encourage that use. Currently I still would stand by the fact that we don't believe a formalised crossing could be justified at this stage.
Thank you. All right. So that deals with the A39 crossing. I just need to take us back slightly because I've forgotten that there was an email, which I've now lost, from British Horse Society because they weren't able to be present today. And so they sent some comments. And I just wanted us to deal with the comment. So this takes us back to treatment of existing public rights of way. And they were asking about the continuation of Bridleway 319/9 to Bridleway 319/1. I don't know. Can I just check whether Highways England have seen this document? I'm not sure if it has been printed, published or not.
David Brown, Highways England, yes, Madam Secretary.
You have, that's fine. So hopefully you'll be able to take us to that point. So if we could just have a look at that and deal with that matter, and then we'll take a short adjournment. So they've said, continuation of Bridleway 319/9 to Bridleway 319/1. Connection appears on the plans as a private access road 15. This must be designated as a public bridleway as well as providing access to the property. So if we could firstly identify where that is, and then just any relevant comments. So it's tied in with a...
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Sorry, Madam Secretary, would you just to clarify? So I think I think we're referring to this connection between these.
Well, Mr. Jeans may be more able to assist us. So the reference I have is the continuation of Bridleway 319/9 to Bridleway 319/1, which is that one. So I think it is that connection.
That's
Bridleway in any case.
I was going to say that I thought we'd covered that. That is shown on the plan I was given yesterday as private laneway and WCH access, which I think is shorthand for bridleway.
That matter has been...
I think it's been resolved.
That's fine, thank you. Just confirm that that's
just Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yeah, as we touched on earlier when we were talking about this junction, the existing bridleway, as you say, runs under our footprint and then uses the existing bridge. And we will be re-providing it. It is in the form of a private laneway. However, it will be designated as a bridleway. So it'll be a like-for-like replacement, basically, and then tie on to our new bridge, which will also then itself carry a realigned bridleway as a replacement for 319/9.
Thank you.
So it's a like-for-like replacement, yeah.
Okay, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think we'll take an adjournment now, and we'll come back. If we take 15 minutes, we'll come back at 11:40. Thank you. We're adjourned.